Good afternoon, everyone. It's Tuesday, October 28th, 2014, and welcome to We Get Results. I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson, and if you haven't joined me before, We Get Results is broadcast on the fourth Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern. The purpose of my show, We Get Results, is to connect listeners to important challenges which face us and how we can make our voices heard to make a difference. Everyone can get results if they know how and where to connect to something they are passionate about. We need to be the change that we want to see in the world. So since this is the 2014 election is 1 week from today, my focus is on the importance of voting, especially women voting, and also women running for office. So we're going to have two parts to the program today. The first part is going to be with two women that are experts on women running for office. And I'll introduce each of them to you, and they can each tell you about their program. And then I'll ask them some general questions that they can both talk about. So, and then the second part of the program is going to be Ken Patterson of the Results Organization to give us to talk to us about how we can take action and do things that will make a difference. So the first thing that I want to do is tell you that this morning, it was really interesting, I had The View on today, and Senator Elizabeth Warren was the one being interviewed on The View. And she had some really interesting things to say. She said, "We must have real people take our government back and make it work for us." And on the importance of women voting, she said, "If you don't have a seat at the table, you are probably on the menu." She said things like children's education, women getting access to birth control, equal pay for equal work, trying to raise the minimum wage, and lower student loan rates, and all those types of things that are very important to women. So she said, "We need to energize women. We are half the population, and we should be half the government as well." So I really thought her comments were very good, and I agree with them. And so what we want to do now is to talk to some women that are experts in women running for office and get some ideas about what they can tell us and see if there are some people that would really like to get into this deeper and find out if they would like to run for office. So I'm going to introduce first Joanne Wassenaar. Joanne is the Associate Director of the Grand Valley State University Women's Center. She received both her BS and her Master's in Public Administration from Grand Valley State University. She has worked for the Women's Center for the past 14 years and currently directs the Ready to Run Michigan Campaign Training for Women, a program that encourages and trains women to run for political office. Additionally, Joanne coordinates the Women's Community Collaborative, a nationally recognized program offered at Grand Valley State University, which provides students with a feminist leadership class coupled with an internship in nonprofit agencies that provide service to women and girls. So I know we're going to get a lot of good answers and information from Joanne. So let me see here. Joanne, can you hear me?
Hello, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Thank you for being with us today, Joanne. I really appreciate it. I know you have lots to add on the subject.
Well, I wanted did you want me to start talking about our Ready to Run program, or did you have a few questions?
Well, I have a few questions that pretty much are on your Ready to Run program just specifically, and then I'll ask Shannon some specifics on her program, and then I'll ask you both some general questions that you could both, you know, answer on if you would like to. So, anyway, as far as your Ready to Run program, how did Grand Valley State become involved in the Center for American Women in Politics, the Ready to Run program?
Okay. For those who don't know, the Center for American Women in Politics is located out of Rutgers University in New Jersey. And the Ready to Run program is a national program. So the majority or a good deal of our states each have a location that oversees or offers the ready-to-run training. So about 4 years, 5 years ago, one of my colleagues had some conversation with Rutgers University. They explained that they were looking for a university or a college that would be willing to take on the ready-to-run, encouraging and training more women to run for public office. It definitely fit with our mission statement of the Women's Center. So at that point, our connection was made with the Center for American Women in Politics. Annually, as a result of that, we offer a one-day workshop, and we take this and try to offer it in different locations within the state of Michigan. So for this coming year in April, on April 17th and 18th, we'll be offering the Ready to Run political training at Saginaw Valley State University, and that's located on the east side of Michigan. So hopefully making these programs more accessible regardless of where you live in the state of Michigan. There is a cost involved with this one-day workshop, and I can provide the website where people can sign up for that. But what people can expect, what women can expect when attending this workshop, is that they will get hour-long workshops throughout the day on Saturday that will give them a taste and some of the tools that they will need to either consider running for public office, or there's a track if you're already running, what further information you may need. On the Friday evening before the event on the 18th, we have a meet and greet because we know how important it is for women to make connections with other women that are either already serving in public office or are considering running for public office. So we do offer that as part of our workshop. For those who need that, we have some limited scholarships, and that information is all available on our worksite or our website.
Okay. Good. That sounds good. How far ahead of time do you think people should sign up?
We are in the process. Good question. We're in the process right now and hope to have that completed by the end of this week, that our online registration will be live and available. We will be offering an early bird sign-up, meaning if you sign up to attend this workshop before March 15th, you will get a $25 discount. So that website would be www.gvsu, for Grand Valley State University, .edu/ready-to-run. Or if you forget all of that, all you have to Google is Ready to Run Michigan, and it will bring you to our website. And again, that should be live by the end of this week in order to sign up. If people had questions, they can call me directly at 616-331-2748. And again, that number is 616-331-2748.
Okay, got it. If we have time at the end, I'll go over that again.
Okay, wonderful.
And I think there's a Ready to Run Michigan Facebook page too, right?
There is. It's located on our Grand Valley website, but like I said, if you Google Ready to Run Michigan, it should bring you right to that page.
And so, you gave them some contact information on who they should contact about that. Mm-hmm. And when people come to the sessions, like, are there sessions running at the same time, or is it consecutive for an hour so that you don't miss anything if you go to each session, or do you have to pick which session you go to at a certain time?
Good question. In the morning, there is workshops that all the attendees to participate, and it's giving this overview of you think you're ready to run for public office, kind of all the things you need to consider. In the afternoon, in the afternoon, we have what we call a track A and then a track B. And track A would be, you're running for public office. What is it now I need to know more in depth? Those things around how to develop a media plan, how to raise funds to fund your running for office. It's giving you more of that detail. The other one was, well, I'm not sure I'm ready to run for public office, but I want to learn more about it. That one would give you more the mechanics of how is it that you file with the Secretary of State that you'll be running for public office? How do you develop those, how you're going to talk about yourself in the media, or what the stance, the platforms that you're going to run on. So giving you some of those preliminary things. The day-long event is certainly a good leap board for many candidates to get some of the starting information on it. But I know Shannon Garrett, our other guest speaker today, will talk a little more too about if you need to know more in depth, because that's what we constantly hear from our participants, is it gave them a good broad overview, but they want to also seek some additional information. That's why we felt coupling this along with Vote Run Lead was a good partnership in the coming year.
Mm-hmm. And are the sessions kind of pretty small and intimate as far as the afternoon ones?
Yes, we have usually around 100 women that attend our conferences. So in the afternoon, when you're splitting that out between choices of a couple of different workshops, you're not going to be put in a room with hundreds of other women. So a lot of times it's a very intimate discussion with 25 maybe to 50 individuals, and you can get those, you can share information with other women, you can get your questions answered, and it's the sessions are all led by experts in the field.
Great. Well, that sounds really good. The other question I had was, because I went to a Sister Giant conference that Marianne Williamson had. I actually went to two of them in L.A., talking about women and women running for office and things. And they were talking, she was talking about, now who's going to run for office and who's going to be the person that supports your friend or the person you know that is running for office. Would you suggest that someone come to this conference if they are planning to be the support person for someone running, or is it primarily just for the person running?
Absolutely. We get individuals who still are not quite sure that running for public office is what they would like to do, but they would like to get involved in a political campaign, or they're going to be a campaign manager for someone. And so they've come to learn all the processes, getting to know the experts in the field and resources that they can use as they may help a friend, individual run for public office. So, yes, I would say we got about 20 women that may attend these who are thinking, I just would like to work on a political campaign and know more about the process before I actually leap in and run for public office.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Do you have anything else specifically about your program before I go to Shannon's program, and then I'll come back for general questions?
No, I think, as I mentioned, I gave the website, the phone number. If anyone, any of your listeners end up that they do have questions, they may certainly just give me a call and we can try to answer that for them or get back to them.
Sure, that's great. And you can, you know, talk some more when we come back to general questions if you think of something else you want to add. So thank you for that. It sounds very good and very exciting and something we need really badly. So I'm going to introduce Shannon now. And Shannon Garrett is a founder and president of the Vote Run Lead, a national nonpartisan organization that unleashes the power of women as leaders in our democracy through training, technology, and community. Shannon also runs SMG Strategies, a political consulting and candidate coaching firm. With 20 years of experience, Shannon is a leading political trainer, campaign strategist, and candidate coach. She is passionate about creating a more active and diverse democracy and frequently partners with underrepresented populations to help amplify their civic voices and build their political power as candidates, voters, and social change agents. Sounds great, Shannon. Are you there? Oops, I didn't. Wait a minute. You're not there. Are you there, Shannon?
I am. Thank you, Mary.
I got so excited looking at everything that you're doing that I forgot to press on your microphone. So thank you for being with us today. And we're going to want to ask you. No, that's okay. And we want to just ask you some specific questions about your program first, and then we'll get to some general things. So maybe you could tell me about how Vote Run Lead is unleashing the power of women as leaders.
Well, we at Vote Run Lead are very passionate about helping women to identify and embrace their political ambitions and to really do what it takes to lead a political life. So through our program Vote Run Lead, we have multiple avenues or ways for women to up their political leadership in some way. So we're looking for women who are, you know, thinking about running for office right away, thinking about running for office in the future, really want to fill that pipeline with women who are building their networks, building their skills, building their experience to run for office. When we talk about women as leaders, we're talking about running for office specifically, but also all types of political leadership. You know, we value the experience that women get as, you know, heads of the PTA, as Girl Scout leaders, as Boy Scout troop leaders, you know, the work that women are doing on the ground, we want to take that experience and that work and bring it to bear on our democracy.
Mm-hmm. And how do women participate in your programs?
Yeah. There's multiple ways to get involved. The first and probably the most exciting part of what we're doing right now is a program, a campaign we have called Invitation Nation, where we are encouraging everyone to go to our website at voterunlead.org and invite the women they know to run for office. And we have lots of tools on there that they can use. There's e-cards. You can create your own meme. We want to be able to give women the tools that they need to go to where the women are, the women leaders that they want to see running for office, and invite them to run. So we are inviting women to run for office. Once you invite them, Vote Run Lead will take over. We'll give them the tools and the skills they need to run for office. We have online webinars. We've taken all of our award-winning trainings and put them online so that they're accessible to women anywhere at any time. We have a series of live speakers. And we're also doing in-person trainings, and we're having this fall, actually, November 21st to 23rd, we're doing a national Go Run training where we're inviting women from all across the country to come to Minneapolis and work on building their plans for their political ambitions.
Well, that sounds great. I saw that, and I was wondering about that. Is that something that would be live streamed too, or no?
No, I don't believe we're live streaming that. We really want to, have it available or a comfortable space for the women who are participating at that time. Although I haven't checked, but I'm, you know, there's always a possibility that we might end up recording some stuff there and putting it online.
Mm-hmm. And how do they get in touch with someone if they want to go to that?
Yeah, they can go to voterunlead.org. That's vote. Run, lead, all one word, org, and they can sign up or register right there on our website and get more information. And once they once you register, you will be contacted by someone from Vote Run Lee to help walk you through the registration process and see if maybe there is a cohort that you fit in with. We are actively recruiting cohorts from different states. So there's a Michigan cohort. So if you sign up and you're from Michigan, we want to make sure you're a part of that group and that you're connected with each other. And then we also are doing some cohorts around specific issues.
Mm-hmm. And how many states would you say have a program like this?
Well, this is really the only national go-around training where we're bringing women across from across the country together. There's great trainings like the Ready to Run programs that happen on the ground in states around the country, you know, that are really state-specific, but this is pretty much a one-of-a-kind national program.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds very exciting. So we'll give that information out again later, too. And I noticed one thing that was said was that Vote Run Lead has issued a challenge to invite 500,000 women to run for office in 2016. So do you think that's realistic, Shannon? What do you think will happen?
I think it is realistic. I think we have a lot of budding women politicians out there, female politicians, who are ready for leadership but just haven't maybe thought about it for themselves or haven't been invited yet. And there's a lot of research out there that talks about how to get women to run for office. And one of the things that we see over and over is that, you know, whereas men can wake up in the morning and think, hey, I'm going to run for office today, we as women, we need to be invited. We have lots of questions. We need people to tell us that they believe in us and to ask us to run. And so that's why we're doing Invitation Nation. And, you know, we're seeing every day, you know, women are jumping online. Women and men are coming to Invitation Nation and inviting the women they know to run for office. So I think that it's an audacious goal, but I think it's very possible.
When was this challenge made?
We just issued it, and we just had our big launch a couple of weeks ago across the country. We had a launch party, and so we put it out there. We've got several thousand invited already, with more coming every day.
Well, and I think, you know, a lot of things that have come up with different workshops that Marianne Williamson has had, and she ran for the House of Representatives in District 33 of California, Henry Waxman's seat, when he retired this year. She came in fourth, and you had to come in first or second to go into the major election, but she did a really good job as an independent of getting people to send small donations and not have, you know, huge corporations or people like the Koch brothers running your life and your and what you're going to do. So, and, you know, she said before, too, like, even if you're in a meeting in an office and there's just a couple of women in there and it seems like you bring, you know, you raise your voice and you say what you think should happen, she said just from one other woman saying, oh, I agree with that, that's a great idea, or actually saying something positive to make that woman know that she's being heard and not all the men are not really hearing her. That made a lot of sense to me. There needs to be somebody, you know, people that are really telling the person that they think what they stand for is what we need, and they will help them to get there. So you guys are doing a great job with that. I think that's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
And yeah, is there anything else specifically about your program before we go into some general questions?
Well, I think that, you know, we are involved with the Ready to Run Michigan program, and I do see that as a really good foundational training program for women who are thinking about running for office now or in the future. But if you are a woman who's looking to maybe up your ante a little bit more and get a little serious about your own political leadership, I would encourage you to come to the National Girl Run Training this November 21st through 23rd in Minneapolis, because we will have, you know, different skill building sessions. We'll have different sessions with trainers and political experts from around the country. But we're also going to provide some blueprinting help and some coaching to women for leadership coaching. So if you're thinking about running for office in the next year or two and you want to map out, sketch out what a campaign plan might look like for yourself, we'll have coaches there to help with that. But if you're somebody who's not ready to run, but you think maybe in 5 years, maybe in 10 years, I'm going to run for office, we encourage you to come to the Go Run training because we can help you map out a blueprint for yourself so that you can do things starting today to position mm-hmm. yourself to be ready to run when the time comes or when a seat opens up or, you know, when your kids are out of the house or whatever those parameters are that you've set for yourself. There are things that you could be doing now to expand your political leadership and raise your visibility. So I would encourage folks to check out the National Go Run training.
Yeah, that sounds really, really good. And I think just like I said with our results that tries to create the political will to end hunger and poverty, it just, you know, you have to feel like you are empowered. You have to get yourself ready and do your homework. And, you know, maybe people won't be ready right away, but I think, you know, we're trying to go one step at a time. And I think, you know, when people get programs like you're having that can make them see that they can do this, you know, it's really important. So anyway, that sounds great. And a couple of other questions that I have that are kind of general questions. You've kind of talked already about, you know, inviting women to run. And do either of you have anything further to say on how we think we can get more women to run? Any other things to for us to try to do?
Well, I would encourage you to just have conversations with the women you know, just like you were talking about earlier from Mary's training, mm-hmm. that it really is about a person-to-person connection and women-to-women connections. And so you can, you know, we encourage you to use our tools. We'll help you invite those women to run for office. But really start thinking about the women in your life and what they're doing already. And I guarantee anyone who's listening to this program, if you sat and you thought about who are the women that are really doing the work, especially the social work, keeping our communities together, you know, who are working in the food pantries, who are, you know, running the campaigns to try to protect our playgrounds or improve safety, that's probably going to be women in most cases. And so I would encourage you to you know, point out their leadership to them, point out their expertise to them,
right.
and invite them to run for office.
And I would add to that, too, if, you know, just looking at you're not still sure, you're unsure, of looking about working on someone's political campaign.
Mm-hmm.
To just learn the what's needed to run for public office, starting to make those connections, that is a pretty safe way to start looking at maybe I would someday like to run for public office.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and also, why do you think that more women aren't either running or are not in public office right now?
Well, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of factors, you know, and like I said before, we're not the gender that stands up and says, I think I'm going to run for office today. You know, we have a lot of other stuff going on in our lives. We're raising families, we're working, we're maybe taking care of parents or grandparents. You know, we're doing the work in the community, and so it doesn't always occur to us that this might be a different way for us to affect change. So that's where I think, you know, the doing the invitations and talking to women one-on-one might be the answer. The other problem is, you know, there's that saying that it's hard to be what you can't see, and we don't see a lot of women in leadership, especially women of color. We need to really encourage women of color to run for office and all of our female friends. Because when you're the first woman running or you're the only woman running, there's a different type of attention that's paid to you. And we want to sort of normalize it so that women are running all the time. And when women run, that it's less about their gender and more about their agenda. So, you know, there's reasons for women to wait. There's reasons for them in certain cases, but it's up to the individual women. You know, you don't need to let having young children at home be a deterrence to running for office. I know plenty of women who have run for office with small children or while they're pregnant. A great example is Rashida Tlaib, one of the state representatives in Michigan out of the Detroit area, you know, and she would bring her kids mm-hmm. to the floor of the state legislature. So there's, you know, if point a woman to vote, run lead or to me personally, and, you know, she can give me her reasons why she's not running, and I can give her some examples mm-hmm. of why that shouldn't be a deterrent.
Uh-huh. And also, like in Michigan, it seems like the number of women in public office has decreased in the past, say, 20 years. And do you guys have any idea why this is happening now or has been happening, not increasing?
Well, this, you know, my opinion is that it has a lot to do with our term limits in Michigan. We have some of the shortest term limits in the country. And I think because of that, we need to do a better job of filling the pipeline with women who are running for office and constantly moving up in the political ladder. So we need to fill it, and we need to keep filling it and refilling it with women. And we have not done a very good job of that. And so I think what we saw was we reached a high point, I think it was back in the 90s, I think a few years ago we had a pretty good percentage of women there. But what you're seeing now is the women who were there were being term limited out, and we just didn't have enough women ready to run behind them. So we need to do a better job of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more comments on that? I think probably the other, you know, we've kind of talked about it already, but could you each talk maybe on why you feel it's important for women to run for public office or to be in the government?
Well, I can start with that one. We are over 50, women are over 50% of the population,
right.
Yet we have like a 17% representation at the national level. So an important piece of what is needed at the tables to be discussed and shared are missing at the national level, at our state levels, in a lot of our local levels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would add to that, you know, it's certainly we should do it just because parity is a good thing. But in addition to that, I would point to some research that's come out of the University of Michigan, which I think they were looking from a business perspective, but they were looking at how diverse groups of people actually come up with better solutions to problems than groups of people who all you know, come from the same background or the same experiences. And I would say that is, you know, twice as true when it comes to the decisions that we're making in government. When you have a body of people who all come from a similar experience, from a similar background, maybe similar educations, or, you know, they're walking through this world in the same way, then they're not necessarily going to be looking at every issue from every angle. And that's why I think we need more women, we need more women of color, we need more people of color at the table. We need people at all income brackets. We need, you know, obviously our rural and urban communities represented. But when you can get people who are at different places in life or who are walking through this world with different experiences, and you can get their eyes and their minds on the problem, then that's going to make a huge difference in the types of policies that you see coming out of Lansing and Washington. And then I think in general, you know, women in particular, lots of research out there that talks about the leadership traits that women bring to the table. And I think when it comes to politics and policymaking, women tend to have a more authentic leadership style, that they're that we have a tendency towards greater inclusiveness. We have a bit more empathy when it comes to looking at the issues. We focus on broader issues, and we tend to work across party lines a little bit more and build consensus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are all things that we could use more of in Lansing and Washington.
Yeah, we definitely need that right now. That's for sure. So as far as, like, everyone voting, do you each want to say one last thing about the vote and why we need everyone to use their vote and why, you know, why is it important for everyone to vote?
Yeah, I it's the one way that we all get the say in our democracy. And if you're not participating, then you're letting other people make these decisions for you. So it's our right, and I would say it's our duty to select and elect the people who represent us. I always joke that there's very little that we ask of you in exchange for the privilege of being an American citizen. We ask for you to pay your taxes, participate in the census, and vote in every election. And I just think it's the right thing to do and something that everyone should be able to do.
Mm-hmm. And I would, just add to that, also to honor the history of women that fought for women to have the right to vote. We haven't always had that right, as you all know. So, you know, even I concur with everything that Shannon said, but I would add to honor the work of women that sacrificed so we could all go to the polls and vote.
Exactly. Yeah, I think one of the films that Marianne Williamson showed at her Sister Giant concert was about that, and it was called Iron-Jawed Angels, a poem for historical women that chronicles the history of the American suffragettes. And there's another one by Abigail Disney, documentary Praying the Devil Back to Hell, about courageous Liberian women that helped win the Civil War. So there's a lot of things like that, and I think, you're totally right. We just, if we don't vote, it's like we're electing the person we don't want, really. And I urge everyone to get everyone they know out to vote. I've met quite a few women that are running right now that I think are really great and would be great leaders, and I think we need to make sure we check everyone's records. We shouldn't vote for an R or a D anymore. We have to check their records and see what they've done. Are they supporting everyone, or are they supporting only the wealthy? And we have too many things that are needing repair right now that we have to make sure we check people's records and see what they're supporting. If they're supporting things that we want, then we should vote for them, and otherwise we should fire the ones that haven't done a good job with what we want. Not just a D or an R anymore. So anyway, do either of you have anything you want to leave us with? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, and thanks for paying attention to this issue. I think that this election is going to be really interesting in terms of what's happening with turnout in Michigan and also with elections in Michigan. One quick thing to note is that we in Michigan may now, after this election, be sending the most women to Washington, D.C. than we ever have before. With our U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow already there, a woman who's running for Senate, Terry Lynn Land, and then we've got a few women who are very likely to win their U.S. House of Representatives elections. So it'll be an exciting year for women, and hopefully it will inspire some more to start running.
And I met Brenda Lawrence and Lisa Brown and Diane Slavens, too, and they seem to be very competent women, too. I've been doing phone banking for some of the candidates and going to a lot of events, like UAW events where both senators were there and a lot of representatives were there, and it really gives you a chance to talk to them. I mean, like, you don't think maybe you'd have a chance, but some of these events you can really talk to people. And this last weekend, one of my heroes, Sam Daly Harris, that's the founder of Results, was here, and he was the keynote at the NAACP Ypsilanti Gala. And what Sam says is it's not just okay to vote every 2 years in an election. We should be doing something, voting every week or every month. We should be talking to our congresspeople and our senators and telling them what they want, because we've even had, because we go and lobby Congress for the trying to create the political will to end hunger and poverty. And we've had some of them even say to us, of course only some of them, you elect us, then you abandon us. No one tells us what you want us to do. Some of them don't want to know, but a lot of them have said, we want you to tell us what to do. And if we call them and talk to whoever answers the phone and say, we would like our congressman to sign on this bill, and I'm a constituent, I elect him, so I would like you to get back to me as soon as you find out what his answer is, and here's my phone number, and expect that you'll get a call back from someone. And we've even had some people get the call back from the representative that didn't even know them. But they do care. We can fire them just like we have hired them. So, you know, we need to stand up and raise our voices for the things that matter to us. And that's what we're going to talk about the second half of the program. So thank you so much for being on, Shannon
thank
and Joanne.
You.
And, we'll have this that you can send around, and I'll be sending around to all my results people and my Facebook people. So we'll send it to you also, and you can send it out to others. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. So now I'm going to just say one little thing about results before we call on Ken Patterson, who is a results staff member. And what I wanted to say was that the results organization is the best way I've found for one person to make a difference. We learn to become powerful advocates and to use our voices to speak to our elected officials on domestic and global poverty. And we get involved and call on lawmakers to take action. And we need to see ourselves as change makers, and results helps us do that. So one other quote that was quoted this weekend by Sam Dealey Harris that started results by the astronaut Rusty Schwager: "We aren't the passengers on spaceship Earth. We are the crew. We can't accept things as they are. We are citizens, not just residents on the planet." So we're the ones we've been waiting for. No one else is coming. And Ken Patterson is going to tell us a little bit about what results is doing and what we can do to raise our voices. So a quick bio of Ken: he's the director of the Global Grassroots Advocacy, and he joined, director of Global Grassroots Advocacy, and he joined Results in June of 2005. As director, he provides coaching, training, and support to a network of 67 Results global chapters around the U.S. and works with the entire Results global team and grassroots expansion team to orchestrate effective citizen activism. Prior to Results, Ken worked as an organizational development consultant with the Peace Corps, Salvation Army, Aid to Artisans, and others. He has his master's degree in organizational change management and has had 5 years' experience in urban economic development. He's had 7 years of international development experience working with the Peace Corps in West Africa as a volunteer, a training consultant, and has an associate degree for agriculture and a training manager. He has an MA in Higher Education Administration and a BA in English. So, Ken, you always do so much to help all of our groups, and we appreciate you so much. So welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mary. I really appreciate it. Yep, I am. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how Results helps us to use our voice, and maybe a little bit about why you feel it's so important to vote and to try to get women to run for office.
Yeah, and I think, the way I put it a lot of times is that, Results works on global and U.S. poverty issues, but the way that we work with to create political will is something that can be used for any issue that people care about. And I often tell folks, if you want to learn how to do this stuff, join Results. We can support you by working on our issues to gain these skills and working in our democracy. And I guess I describe it as kind of a – it's sort of a blind spot that we have in our democracy. It's sort of like, we live in a democracy, yet nobody really trains us how to function in a democracy. If you take a room full of people and you ask them, and I've done this a lot of different times, you ask them how many people know who your representative is, and then you might get a couple of hands out of a whole room of folks.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can just there, and that was the initial thing that sort of turned Sam Dealey Harris, our founder, onto this, is the idea that people don't really even know quite often who our elected officials are, let alone being in contact with them. And as your guest speakers, or as you just kind of said, I guess, Mary, I think we don't see ourselves as the crew. We don't see ourselves as sort of driving this thing a lot of times, which is which is the challenge. And it's sort of like nobody's teaching us how to function in our democracy, and then we don't see ourselves as – can I use a metaphor? Is that all right if I kind of use a little bit of a metaphor here to describe this, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
So I equate what happens in our democracy to what happens in any business or organization that we work for. I mean, the voting process is essentially people looking at a set of resumes. It's like the hiring process. You're looking at a set of resumes, and you choose the resume that you know for the person that you think would do the best job. You might interview them by going to a town hall meeting or sitting down with them. And then you select the candidate you think is going to best do the job of representing you. And then, but sometimes, you know, sometimes your candidate gets chosen, and sometimes your candidate does not, your top candidate does not, because there's a large committee of people deciding on who's going to, you know, fill that job. But even if the person you selected or you voted for doesn't get chosen, they still work for you. And then you pull money out of your pocket, you know, as taxes, and you pay that person's salary. And then the so essentially these people work for you. We pay their salaries and all that. And then what I'll do this quite often too, I'll ask people in a room, I'll say, so how many of you have ever been hired for a job? And they say, hey, yeah, welcome, congratulations, you're a top candidate. You know, we've chosen you for the job. Hey, now go out and do whatever you want to. And the thing is, it's like, you know, and I get laughs, I get a lot of chuckles in the room on that sort of stuff. I occasionally get a hand where somebody will raise their hand and then I'll ask them what their job is. But most people find that idea just sort of ridiculous. You know, nobody gets hired for a job and says, well, just go out and do what you want. You always have a supervisor. You have somebody you answer to. But essentially that's what we do with government quite often is we hire these people, and a lot of times people are not even part of the selection committee that is hiring them because they don't vote. But then once they're in office, you know, kind of like you said, Mary, it's like nobody is supervising them, and or the people who can hire and fire are not supervising them. And so this is what results teaches us to do. It's actually kind of put us training us to become the supervisors of the people who work for us. And then, you know, like, what are the tools of that? Then results trains us how to communicate with them, you know, with letters, with and developing personal relationships by sitting down and meeting with them, by putting things into the media and that sort of thing. And as you mentioned, you know, our elected officials really appreciate that. I mean, it's a couple things. If they can stand up on the floor of the House or the Senate and say, I've got constituents coming and telling me that, you know, vaccinating 300 million children, as is what the campaign we're working on right now, vaccinating 300 million children and helping strengthen healthcare systems is not only the right thing to do for those kids because it's going to save their lives, but it's also going to protect us in the future from outbreaks like that we're experiencing around this Ebola crisis.
Right.
So a little bit of, you know, kind of how Results does this.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of you, what was your second question there, Mary?
Well, why do you think people are not involved in our democracy? Or maybe people need to know more about what the political will is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in terms of why people aren't involved, I mean, I think it's a couple-fold. You know, one is, again, like I said, nowhere sort of in a wholesale way are we training people on how do you function in democracy. We don't teach it well in junior high school. We don't teach it well in high school. We don't teach it in college. The best we do is perhaps maybe show them a picture of the three branches of government and say, this is how things function. But we never put people in contact with our democracy. And sort of like, you know, being a parent, there's no manual for being a parent, yet everybody, you know, it's happening all the time, all around us, every day. In our democracy, it's sort of the same thing. It's like people are kind of astounded, you know, when they realize that you can just call the White House, or you can call your representative, or you can schedule a meeting to sit down with them and tell them about things you care about, or that you can establish a relationship with them. People, that's sort of shocking for people. It's like a mystery. It's like, oh, wow, I didn't even know that I could do that because nobody's training them to do it.
We got a request yesterday to call the White House, and it was very simple. They told us what we were talking about as far as Gavi for vaccines, and you called and you got on the comment line, and it was very simple. It took about 2 minutes. So there's some really easy things that you can do that you probably have no idea that you have access to.
Exactly. I think those things, and sometimes we wonder if those things matter and all, and the thing is that they do. I mean, our elected officials do pay attention to letters and phone calls that come in, and then what results does is sort of take that one better and actually show folks how to develop those personal relationships with elected officials and how to take advantage of, you know, the times that they're in our communities. For example, this morning I was told yesterday that my Senator Kay Hagan is going to be at a diner not too far from here. And so this morning I went over to the diner, walked in, got a place near the podium where she was going to be speaking. She came in, talked about voting, talked about her candidacy and all that stuff. I had an opportunity to shake her hand. I told her, you know, that we had met in Washington and that, you know, we were talked to her about child vaccinations and would like to see her follow up on that. And I handed some information to their aide. So that was a clear opportunity to, you know, interface with my senator that any of us can, you know, take advantage of.
The last couple of weeks when you've been in town to support candidates, in 1 week I got to see both senators from Michigan and Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin. And I got to, sometimes you don't know whether they're going to be whisked out of there or what, but I got to talk to all three of them about the things I needed to, and I gave their aides information, and we'll follow up on that also. It was really exciting, actually, and I talked to about four members of the House of Representatives and candidates running for office that will know who results is once they get into office, and we'll be calling them for meetings. So it was pretty exciting.
That's great, and that's exactly, you know, that's you taking advantage of them being around and just talking to them. You know, you ask why people don't participate. I think another reason is that there's a sort of a cloud that hangs over politics a little bit. You know, from sort of the way the news covers it, they're always wanting to, you know, portray the controversy between politicians, and they also, you know, really we hear a ton about how big money influences our elected officials and all that, you know. And the thing is, it's like, you know, the news does not always cover the good stuff that's going on as well. I mean, we introduced the resolution, the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunizations resolution in the House with 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats on it. There are about 17 Republicans on that right now, and 30 some Democrats on this thing. And so, but nobody, you know, you didn't see it on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News that, hey, Congress is working together to vaccinate, you know, children around the world and make their health system stronger and, you know, make us safer and stuff like that. So they don't cover those kinds of stories. And then the other piece on sort of, I guess, you know, the political influence of big money. I mean, it's true that those folks with money are influential, but it's only because we let them. If there were more constituents speaking to our elected officials, then our voices would matter more than theirs, no matter how much money they put in, because they cannot hire and fire. Only the constituent, only the voter can hire and fire. It doesn't matter how much money they have, they can't really buy an office unless we let them, unless we sort of step aside and let them supervise instead of having us supervise the people they work for. Mm-hmm.
They usually say that even 5 or 10 phone calls on the same day or two from constituents, maybe 5 of your friends or emails, will say, hey, I need to talk to my boss about this because we're getting a lot of mail.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. They figure that if somebody is motivated enough to pick up the phone or write a letter, you know, personal letter, that there are probably a lot more people them who feel the same way but just didn't take, you know, the time to do that. Yep.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Ken? Do you want to give people a quick action to take to try to make a difference?
I do. I would love to have folks, you know, and I'll tell people, I'm going to challenge folks on the line here today to step outside your comfort zones. If you've never done this before, it's going to give you the willies. You know, it's going to give you the butterflies in your stomach to do this. But you are going to feel good on the other side of it. So I encourage you to step out and outside your comfort zone and take a quick action today. Again, this could be part of your journey to getting more involved in politics. You know, who knows if you'll ever run for office or not, but again, at least you know, this will maybe get you started on taking some actions. And so here's what you can do today. And again, I think with, you know, when you participate with results, the best way we can support you to make a difference and to learn these advocacy skills, to learn these skills of working with government is to just kind of work on our issues around them. But again, you can use these skills for anything. So for one, here's the first thing you do. You find who your representative is. And I'm sure there's some listeners who don't know who their representative is, and that's fine. That's where you're starting, and that's totally okay. So what you want to do to find your representative is just go to our website, www.results.org. So that's www.results.org. So you go to our website. You'll see five tabs across the top of the website. One of them says Take Action. If you click on the Take Action tab, you'll be taken to a page where there's a lot of great information and stuff, but there's a green box on the right-hand side of the page. It's distinctly green, so it's very, very easy to see. And then there's a link in there that says Research Your Members of Congress. So research your representatives and senators or research your members of Congress. Just click on that green box, and then it will guide you toward finding the name of your representative in Congress. So that's the first thing to do. Make sure you know who your representative is. And then the next thing you want to do is, once you know who your representative is, you want to call the Capitol switchboard. You can use one number, and I think I've done this before on this call. You can use one number to contact any member of Congress. And I'm going to give you all that number to write down now and encourage you to put it in your phone under the congressional switchboard as its list, or just Congress. The number is 202-224-3121. So the number is 202-224-3121. And I actually just memorized that because it's one number, and I know I can contact all the members of Congress with one number, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they pick up the phone, you just ask for your representative's office. And then when you get their office, then you just, if you could just do this one thing, tell them you would like the representative to co-sponsor House Resolution 688.
You can just say HR.
What's that?
We've got about a minute and a half left, Ken.
Yep, we're just about done here. So ask them to co-sponsor House Resolution 688. And you can just tell them it's about vaccinating children and saving their lives if you want to say anything else about it. But again, they'll take that down. It'll show support for that House resolution. And then there are other people who are contacting your members of Congress directly in building relationships with their aides who are going to follow up on that message as well. But if you just did that today, contact them and ask them to co-sponsor House Resolution 688. It's about vaccinating children and saving their lives. That'd be great.
And then you can say to whoever answers the phone, I'm a constituent, and I would like to know what the congressman or congresswoman decides on this. Are they going to do it or not? Please call me back or email me and give them your information to make sure
you can
get back to you.
Yep, you can certainly can take it that step further to do that. I think letting them know you're a constituent is important, but then you can also ask them to call you back and let them know if they've taken that action you've asked them to take. And then you start a relationship.
Well, and if anybody wants any more information, they can either email me at malbertson05@aol.com, or you can email Ken Patterson at k CATTERSON at results.org and ask us anything you want. We'll be happy to help you. Right, Ken?
Fantastic. Absolutely. Absolutely. I welcome people to call and seek assistance in, you know, how to function in this democracy of ours.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Ken. I also just want to say for Detroit area, our results group has our fundraiser Sunday, November 16th at 3 p.m. We have a very distinguished speaker, Cool Gotham, former Deputy Executive Director of UNICEF and Assistant Secretary General of the UN, and he'll speak on his vision for the future and how we can see that vision become a reality. You can call me at 248-756-6270, and I'll give you more information. So hope to see you on Sunday the 16th in Farmington Hills. Thank you so much, Ken, for being on. And thank you all for listening today, and I hope you will reach out to your congressperson. Thanks a lot. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Mary.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.